96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Last week, criminal charges against two Montgomery County High School students were dropped after prosecutors said there was no evidence to support the accusations that they raped a 14-year-old classmate. As the county state's attorney said, charges were dropped, quote, due to a lack of corroboration and substantial inconsistencies from the facts. Prosecutors say the 14-year-old girl actually sent a sexually explicit video to one of the accused, which he allegedly shared with others. Well, there's a whole lot more to that story, but it illustrates a point that young people can make horrible, life-changing decisions. In many of those cases, those life-changing decisions can be avoided. Well, tonight, we'll talk about those decisions that can severely impact the life of a teenager. And how can we help youngsters make better decisions? In other words, how do we teach them to look before they leap? Well, my guests are Dr. Jerry Dyson, physician specializing in adolescent medicine and author of the book An Apple a Day Keeps the Drama Away, and Archie Bledsoe, parent, mentor, and author of the book The Mentor That Inspires. You want to talk about how you teach your children to look before they leap, before they make really horrible decisions. What are you telling your kids? And how did you handle it after they made difficult, horrible decisions? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about this situation. The situation in Montgomery County where all parties involved, all teenagers have, you know, obviously made some really bad decisions. And indeed, the two boys are still facing criminal charges related to distribution of child pornography. But if you look beneath the surface of this situation, the reality is that, you know, these young people were involved in very, very human activity. Mm-hmm. But they made some bad decisions. How do you teach your children to not jump into something like that?
Well, I'll start out since everybody's looking at me.
Yeah. Ladies first.
Yeah. So sweet. But the thing that is amazing to me is that all of us were once adolescents. So we have to think about that time where you are coming into your own. You're gaining your own independence, but maturity level, the cognition is a little lacking in some areas. So some things you think you're doing with just you and your friends, you don't realize. Even social media, different things, even sexting. Because sexting a minor is actually illegal. Mm-hmm. If you're an adult, you can do that. But minors, it is not legal for you to send naked pictures of yourself to even your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever. If the person receives the picture and they keep the picture in their phone, they can be prosecuted. So I believe that's where all of this comes in that you were mentioning earlier.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But part of the thing is that it is difficult for adults to persuade young people that what they do has a lasting effect on their lives. It goes from anything from sexting to speeding to trying drugs to anything. And so it is difficult for us, but we have to continuously reinforce that to them.
And I think the dangers, Archie, are considerably more severe now, as Dr. Dyson was just suggesting, because before social media, before camera phones, you know, and the like, kids pass notes.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the size of it.
Right.
And, you know, if they got caught, to use a euphemism, snuggling, you know, at school, then chances are, you know, they got put in, you know, detention. You called the parents in. You know, there was a conference. But, you know, but in this case, you know, the legal system, the justice system, you know, got involved. How does a parent put a lid on something like that? Because most parents would say, not my child.
Child. Yeah. So, Harold, that's a good point. Speaking from a mentor position, I have kids on both sides of the equation. I have kids that have parents that have done great jobs, and I have kids that have parents that hasn't done such a good job with their kid. And at the end of the day, Harold, it comes to consistency. I speak about that a lot. What, just say, equated to CEOs and major corporations, the head guy makes sure everybody on his resume, on his team, is held accountable.
Hopefully.
So why don't we do the same thing?
She said, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes, exactly.
But there's a standard that's set. There are guidelines. Like parents, we verbally give guidelines to our kids, but there need to be somewhere documented in their houses, like a quick reference where your child can actually go look at your guidelines, your standard operating procedures. We take our kids for granted, but we take our jobs far too serious. You worry about getting fired from your job, but you're very comfortable with your kid. So when your kid detects when the mom and dad is being comfortable. So once he see his parents is comfortable, then they do little sneaky things.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. How do you teach your child to look before they leap? How do you teach them to not make horrible life-altering decisions? If you're a parent, if you've had that challenge, if your child has made a decision and you've had to deal with the aftermath, or if your child has yet to do that, we'd love to hear about those parenting skills. You know, Dr. Dyson, I'm sure you've spoken to, you know, to parents about this same thing as it relates to your patients. How are parents dealing with this, and what kind of problems are they having?
It depends on what side the parent is on. So if the parent is the parent of the victim or the person who has been perpetrated against or anything, they are a little more in panic mode. Now, we may have gone over this in a clinic before about what to do in case your child gets in this scenario. But for everybody, us going over prevention is very different from when it actually happens. And so parents need to be clear that you have to get in the habit of having the conversation, the tough conversations, the awkward conversations, even like we mentioned before about watching their social media, engaging with them. The thing that parents do, though, is they get on social media, on the feed, and say, I know I taught you better than this. Mm-hmm. Now, what the kid is going to do is shut you from their social media page, create another page, and you won't be able to find it. So we really have to teach parents how to be more savvy, how to engage, how to open up the awkward conversation. Let it be awkward, but the more you have that awkwardness, it'll go away eventually.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about helping youngsters make better decisions. Let's go to Pam. Pam calling from D.C. Pam, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Pam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, go right ahead.
I think that we have criminalized our children's behavior so much in our society that many of the things that 30 years ago were considered normal adolescent behavior is now a crime. And I think that parents who were raised within that generation, there are things they did that their parents would not have approved of either. It's just that we did not have social media and those types of things to broadcast it to the world.
But
and
Pam,
I think we need to look at that because these young people are being charged with a crime for doing an irresponsible act, but they are at an age where irresponsible acts occur.
But Pam, let me suggest this because, you know, while we talked about this Montgomery County issue as a launching point for this discussion, this isn't just about sex and social media, okay? This is not about just sex videos sent to an underage peer. What about the kids who throw rocks off of the bridge and hit cars, and then those cars have accidents, and then someone is hurt? We're not talking necessarily about just the act, but we're talking about the consequences of the act. And that's why I emphasize these are life-altering decisions. Yeah, well, if you throw a snowball off the bridge and you hit a car and nothing happens, you know, boys will be boys, kids will be kids. But if somebody is hurt, then that's a whole different ballgame, Pam.
I understand that, but I also think that when you look at the brain science that goes with it, you have acknowledgments that at that those ages from 12 to 25, they're very immature. They make immature mistakes. That at one point in time, we still had children who did things that were not good, but we had juvenile courts that were strictly, the laws were based differently for juveniles than they were for adults, and we have moved away from that as a country as a whole. So now we charge 12-year-olds as adults when mentally we're saying they're incompetent to be adults, but we can charge them as adults.
Okay, Pam, interesting point. Archie, your thoughts about what Pam just shared with us?
So, like I said, I come from a mentor's background, and I talk to a lot of kids. I often hear adults speak from an adult's perspective, but what we're doing is we're actually failing our kids. We will give 110% to a whole bunch of things in our lives that we like hold to our hearts to pay attention to, but you don't give 110% to your kids. Just because your kids live with you, that doesn't mean they're getting your full time and attention. And that's where a lot of kids go astray. They seek attention. It's all about attention. All these kids that are doing things that they shouldn't do, it's about attention. I've had kids that have turned their lives totally around because mom and dad actually start having days, one day a week, where they actually meet with the kids to dialogue and to see what's going on with your life. And then you'll learn about what actually took place in that child's life the weekend before that would have curtailed him from doing something the following week. But if you let your kids just do what they want to do, they're going to come up and do things they shouldn't do.
Dr. Dyson, do you agree with that, that it is about attention?
It's some of it, I think, is multifactorial, but attention may be part of it. But I do know esteem has a lot to do with some of the reasons that some of the kids are making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Harold, it goes beyond sexting and having sex. It also comes just making pictures on Facebook or social media or Instagram that are inappropriate that will inhibit you from maybe getting into certain colleges, getting certain scholarships that you're looking for. So it doesn't have to be a criminalized issue. It can be anything. But some of it also deals with the parents really engaging with the kids and other people being there to and being honest, because a lot of times parents aren't honest with their issues. They're like, oh, I don't want you to do A, B, and C, but they're not really opening up enough about their history to make the kid be like, oh, this can be a two-way conversation. You do understand what I'm going through.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about teaching children to look before they leap, how to not make any horrific life-altering decisions. Lisa, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
In the Express newspaper today, and it infuriated me for two reasons. I agree with her. I think that we have to give adolescents the opportunity to make a mistake. And I also believe that parents, the one thing that I know minority parents are not really having good conversations about is sexuality. No one is just having a conversation with their child at even a younger age about their sexuality and what their expectations are, and then what did they do with their own sexuality. And I do feel that we're at a crossroads when it comes to legislation, to where we try to find a backdoor loophole to charge children for poor behavior to set precedence for future legislation.
Interesting.
And it's a bad move. I think you really have to think of the intent and the psyche of the person who's doing something. And someone who is a true rapist.
Lisa, hold on. I need to take a break. Stay with me. I need to let you finish your point on the other side. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. We're talking about teaching children to look before they leap. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. You will be able to hear the conversation. Don't hang up. We'll be taking your calls in just a few. Stay with us.